Hello, welcome to Our PVC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPVCLife or through our website at pvclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Praise the Lord. I continue this morning in our series as we go through the book of Matthew, commissioned by Christ. I'm always amazed at the timing of God and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I've been filled with the Spirit since I won't tell you a date, but since a long time ago. Every so often, I almost slip. For those online, I'm 39 euro. I did change from 29 euro, but, you know, I can only go that far. But I've been filled from a very young age, and I'm always amazed at how Holy Spirit works. He never ceases to amaze me. And as we're going through this book of Matthew, we're at a scripture today. These passages, as I say to you all the time, I go and I wait on the Lord and then I cut it in pieces as He shows me for the different weeks and position things. And then I'll hit these weeks. And the same thing happened when I preached through the book of Hebrews. It was the same. The timing was impeccable. When we went through the book of James, it was incredible. And here we are in the book of Matthew, and the line on line, precept on precept, as He says in Ecclesiastes, He's showing it again, that there's always a God moment in this time and season we live in, and He's got a word for us. He's got a word for us today as we continue in this book of Matthew. Today's message is God's covenant promises. God's covenant promises. Before I share the text today, may I remind us, God has shared in His word the clarity of His promises to all people. His promises are unchangeable because God is the God of truth. When you're the God of truth, your promises must be unchangeable. God is not a man that He would lie. Therefore, His words remain as stated, firm and secure, as He declared it from His throne room. And so we have the privilege, it's an honor and a privilege to read God's word and see the multitude of promises given unto us humans. And Galatians chapter 3 is one of those where we see the promises of God. Let me share this before I get to my text in Matthew today. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8 to 9, and I read from the New Living. What's more, the scriptures look forward to this time when God would make the Gentiles right in His sight because of their faith. And God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when He said, "All nations will be blessed through you." All nations will be blessed through you. So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. Very pivotal scripture to line up with our text today from Matthew chapter 15. It is by faith that we are secure in Christ. It is by faith that we will be able to enter into heaven. It is by faith that we share in the blessings of Abraham. It is by faith that all nations shall be blessed by God. It is the word of the Lord. May we not in these days begin to cast aside the word, because without the word, there are no boundaries left. Folks, when the word is removed, there is a stripping of everything. And we have to be careful as Christians that we don't start dissecting in our own ideology the word of the Lord. We need to dissect the word. Scripture interprets scripture. So this is a wow moment. Here's the wow. As Galatians said, we have been grafted into the promises of God, and we have been given not small promises or temporary promises. We have been given eternal promises, a covenant given to us undeserved Gentiles, which God covenanted that we would have by faith, the same faith that Abraham had when he trusted God. So what God has declared in the Old Testament, the prophets, the priests, and the kings were sanctioned to continually communicate so his words would never die. And the prophets, the priests, and the kings, they carried the word until the word became flesh in Jesus Christ. And when the word became flesh, it is now the Holy Spirit that interprets the word plus the written word that we have, that the word of God shall endure forever. So folks, with these unchangeable promises of God, we still have the freedom of choice, a freedom to both Jews and Gentiles alike. I keep saying it over and over. If I were God, I would never have given freedom to humans. But you know, that's the one thing he gives us. What does he give us? Free choice. He does not force us to serve him. There are many who will force you at gunpoint or force you at some way to worship this. But God gives us freedom. You choose Christ. He chose you first, but you choose Christ. He has never put something to one's head and said, worship me or you will die. Somebody in the house? So now let's step into the scriptures as we continue progressively in the Matthew series. I preached Matthew last week, and I'm now Matthew 15, 1 to 20. So I'm exactly today, scripted from last year, I'm exactly today at Matthew 15, verse 21 to 28. And so we continue in commissioned by Christ as we step into a Gentile story. This is a Gentile story on a day when we are hearing a Jewish story. I'll blend both together. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 to 28. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who had lived there came to him pleading, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely. But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him, send her away. Tell her to go away, they said. She's bothering us and with all her begging. Then Jesus said to the woman, this is the then Jesus spoke. Then Jesus spoke to the woman, said to the woman, I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel. Verse 25, but she came and worshiped him, pleading, Lord, help me. And Jesus responded, it isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. It's a parable. She replied, that's true, Lord, but even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table. Verse 28, dear woman, Jesus said to her, your faith is great. Your request is granted. And her daughter was instantly healed. Here ends the reading of God's word this morning, Matthew 15. 21 to 28, a step in the process. A difficult passage because of the context and some of the words that we hear in there, but it has simple meanings. So please take these simple meanings to heart. Here are four things that I've broken out of it for you today. Number one, recognize where Jesus' spirit is at work and move towards him. This Gentile woman did not know him in the capacity, but she heard of him as the Lord. And she came to him because miracles, signs, and wonders, the prophetic fulfillment of God was working in him. And so she came to him with a grave problem. Secondly, be prepared to cry out to him. And when we cry out, cry in the spirit of simplicity, humility, and surrender. We're in a day, there's so much pride and so much, I don't know what words to use to describe where we've become. I've always said we have so much education that we've gone higher than thermometers and we don't even know how to dissect and discern what the Spirit is saying. But we need to come back to God in a spirit of simplicity, humility, and surrender. I thank God for something He has not changed in my life, though I preached around the world. I have never given up the simplicity to which He called me to minister the Word of God. And I've not given up the humility either. And I've not given up surrendering before God at all times. Folks, we've got to get back there so people see the power of God in us because we are working in the way and walking in the way that the Spirit would have us to walk. This woman came and she's like, God, my daughter is possessed. I don't care if I'm a Gentile. I don't care where I'm from. I don't care who I am. I care to know today that she will be delivered. And that is what matters, is that we cry out to God in a manner that we say, God, I will not bend until I see a miracle. Any amens in the house today? Number three, be persistent for miracles and do not quit regardless of how you feel. Can you imagine how she felt when the disciples were like, get away, move her out? You know, there are times there's insult in the journey. Anybody ever felt insults in the journey? Anybody ever felt, there's a lot of times there's offenses in the journey. Anybody ever had some offenses on the journey? Anybody else? Come on, let me see. You got, but what do? We remain persistent in what God has called us to. Folks, remain persistent. We're too easily offended and too easily offset. When you know who you are in Christ and God, you stay grounded and rooted in Him regardless of the circumstances around you. That's when the world will know that we serve a God who is mighty. Be persistent. That's what this woman did. She's like, oh, there's a key verse here. It says, Jesus did not answer a word. But what did she demonstrate? See, Jesus was not ignoring her. He was testing her. Sometimes the testing, remember the testing and the trials of our faith, what? It brings us to greater patience and perseverance. Jesus was pressing her with His silence. And sometimes in the midst of our journey, we feel a silence from God. God and Christ, the Holy Spirit, are not distant. They're not sleeping. Even when it may seem like there is no answer, God has an answer, for there's no question you can ask. There's no plea you can make that God doesn't have an answer for. So have faith. Have faith, whether it be small faith, medium faith, or great faith. And if not, grow faith. He said a mustard seed can grow. Folks, we need to grow great faith in this day. That's what the world needs. Not just simple faith, we need great faith. Here was a Gentile woman, and she had what? Great faith. And Jesus spoke when her faith began to talk. Can I tell you that this morning? Jesus spoke. It said He was silent, but when her faith spoke, then He spoke. Folks, Matthew shows us in this passage in Matthew chapter 15, where Jesus' whereabouts when He delivered this powerful message. And when I preached last week on that message, it was guarding one's heart and one's lips 2 weeks ago, last week being Thanksgiving, and we remember use our lips to thank God because that's what's going to bring the miracles. But Jesus, it tells us in this passage, He withdrew to a place where He could get some quiet time and replenish His strength, because He had been pouring out miracles upon miracles upon miracles. So where was He at this time? He was at the coastal region of Lebanon in a port town called Tyre and Sidon. And if you look on your map, you'll see it. This was a town, it was a place of Gentiles. It was a Gentile city. And the Gentiles were now coming to Christ. They were coming into the knowledge of Christ, who Jesus is, the miracle worker. Jesus was known in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Samaria. Remember the Samaritan woman went, and we read that even last week. And so here in this region, he's new to them, but this woman had heard he's a miracle worker. And no matter how entrenched the demons were, remember he had already cast out demons in the Decapolis. And so now this woman's like, if he can cast out demons, I'm bringing my oppressed, depressed, compressed one to him. And not, first of all, let me just qualify, not people who are depressed is not demonic. We need to identify sometimes there's differences here. Demonic is a control, and that's when the enemy has taken over the mind. And the enemy had taken over the mind of her daughter, and so she was ready to see a release. Can I share this morning? We're at a very pivotal time where we've seen where the enemy has taken over the minds of people. It's one thing to have war. It's another thing to burn and shoot up babies. That is a demonic act, and I don't care who defies it. It is demonic that you could do such things. The world has gone nuts in the demonic, and the church needs to know we can still pray. Anybody in the house this morning? This passage is a preparation for the end times. Jesus, when he went to Tyre and Sidon, to that quiet place where the Gentiles were, he was preparing to come back into Jerusalem. He was preparing for the end of time. Can I tell you, this message is to call us to prepare. Anybody preparing in heart? Young people, you haven't heard these type of passages preached much, but Jesus is coming. So this woman, this Gentile woman in her desperate situation, she found Jesus. And when she found him, she cried out to him for help. And when she cried out for him to help, she persisted in her cry. What's persistent cries to God? It's called intercession. Because she wasn't crying for herself, she was crying for another. I preached that message on September 10th, committed to intercession. And we have a podcast, you can listen to it in your cars. So if you want to go online, and if you can see it in our online messages, but if you want a podcast and listen to it, we need to become committed to intercession, because the enemy has ravaged the minds of people, and they can't get out of being ravaged if the church will not come to pray. Let's not blame those who are demonically controlled if we who have the power to release demons are not praying for the nations of the world and the peoples in the nation. Anybody with me this morning? It's easy to condemn, but it's easier to intercede. She knelt before Christ. Here's what happened. This Gentile woman knelt before Christ and she began to worship. And that's what last week as we went through Thanksgiving, it's about worship unto God. That message is a powerful one online. If you missed it, you want to go back to the message and last week. It is God's design that we worship regardless of all situation. So she knelt and she worshiped from the depth of her soul. She was rejected, but she worshiped. She was insulted, but she worshiped. She felt beaten, but she worshiped. She didn't know what to do, but she worship. She felt it was unfair. There are some unfair situations in the world, but we still must worship. And she grew her faith before God, as we today need to grow our faith in God. And as she began to intercede, Jesus spoke and said, "Great faith. You've demonstrated such great faith. Great faith releases even the gravest darkness." And her daughter was released from the demonic. Folks, why is this story so important at this very pivotal time in life? Why is this story so important at this pivotal time in history? It's important because we need to be reminded that Jesus said to her, "I was sent to the lost sheep of Israel." But while he was granting eternal life to Israel, he was also making his unbreakable promises to a woman who was a Gentile. And it is that we've been grafted into. Oh, you don't look happy like you're grafted in. Jesus said in verse 24, "I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." But she came and she worshiped, pleading, Lord, help me. Oh, that we would intercede, Lord, help them. Lord, deliver them. Folks, it's easy to condemn, but can you, I know a lot, some people love to tweet. Can you tweet? It's easy to condemn, but it's easier to intercede. And that's what we need to move to church. We have collectively come into a crisis right now. And here's the statement I need to make. And this is a serious, as a pastor, I have to open the scripture today because the times are so serious. Folks, when Israel is at war, the world is at war. When any nation fights against Israel, they're fighting against God. And when Israel is at war, the world is at war. Does anybody understand that? Young people, I love you so much. You know that I'll do anything because I want to see you thrive because you're going to carry the gospel into the future. Can I remind you, young people, that you don't know this because you don't know the scriptures yet. You're growing into it. But those of us who grew in the scripture, we know what the scripture says when Israel is at war. Somebody tell me what happens. I'm not hearing it online, in house. This is serious. When Israel is at war, the world is at war. And we've got to realize this is not a time where we can have fake or fickle Christianity. We have to have faith in our Christianity. We must have faith in our Christianity. Jesus is coming back soon. This is not an idle statement I'm making today because the Old Testament and the New Testament prophecies points to the promises of God. I'm going to read some for you today. See, Israel's always lived under persecution because the devil has always wanted to destroy what God has created. It is Satan's greatest threat that the knowledge of God advance to the ends of the earth. And it's his greatest threat that one day Christ will return to redeem the earth. And God's promises is that thousands of angels will set foot down on the Mount of Olives by the Eastern Gate in Jerusalem. That is a promise that's unbreakable. Where is God, Christ going to return to? It's not to Pickering. It's not to somewhere else in Ontario. It's not to Canada. It's not to Mexico. It's not to the Caribbean. He will return. His foot will set down by the Mount of Olives, by the Eastern Gate, with thousands of angels. That's an unbreakable promise. And that is why the war against Israel shall be fulfilled, because Satan is in his last hour. Matthew chapter 24. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. We've not been preaching the prophetic fulfillment of the word, but can I tell you, Matthew's going to take us there, up to Matthew 24. God's covenant cannot be broken. God's covenant promises cannot be broken. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 6, he says, I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them. I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants from the generation to generation. This is an everlasting covenant. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. And I will give the entire land of Canaan, which is the contention now, where you now live as a foreigner, to you and your descendants. It will be a possession forever, and I will be their God. Then God said to Abraham, your responsibility is to obey the terms of the covenant. You and all your descendants have this continual responsibility. Folks, we have a continual responsibility to understand the covenant of God, which is unbreakable. Can God break his promise? See, if God breaks his promise, there's no word for us to follow. So it has to be fulfilled. Church, we are not in a position to discount the covenants of God. We got to pray on every side, but remember that we're in a covenant fulfillment time. Jeremiah tells us about the everlasting covenant. Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah says, I prayed, O sovereign Lord, you made the heaven and the earth by your strong hand and powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Got to remember this as you intercede for the nations. Nothing is too hard for you. You show your unfailing love to thousands, but you bring the consequences of one generation's sin upon the next. You are the great and powerful God, the Lord of heaven's army. You have all wisdom and do great and mighty miracles. You see the conduct of all people and you give them what they deserve. You perform miraculous signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, things still remembered to this day. And you have continued to do great miracles in Israel and all around the world. You have made your name famous. And then Jeremiah says, you brought Israel out of Egypt with a mighty sign and wonder, with a strong arm and a powerful hand, and with all overwhelming terror. You gave the people of Israel this land that you had promised their ancestors long ago. And he continues on. But Jeremiah later on reminds Israel. He says this in Jeremiah 32. I want to say more about this city. You've been saying it will fall to the king of Babylon, to war, famine, disease. But this is what the Lord says. I will certainly bring my people back from all the countries where I scattered them. And I will bring them back to this very city and let them live in peace and safety. They will be my people. I will be their God. Then I will give one heart and one purpose to worship me forever for their own good and for the good of all descendants. I will make an everlasting covenant and I will never stop doing good for them. I'll put a desire in their hearts to worship me and they will never leave me. I will find joy doing good for them and will faithfully, wholeheartedly replant them. Folks, the prophecies in the Old Testament, right up to the fulfillment of Christ. Zechariah, he talks about the future deliverance of Israel, of Jerusalem. And he says in Zechariah, pardon me, I'm just going to skip Zechariah 12, verse 10. I'll pour my spirit of grace and prayer on the family of David and the people of Jerusalem. They will look on me whom they pierced and mourn for his only son. They will grieve bitterly for him as a firstborn son. And sorrow and mourning. This is when Israel had walked away from God. And Jeremiah prophesied that they will be destroyed. But God, even when he destroys because of rebellion, he still keeps his covenant. So Jeremiah in one chapter says, you will be destroyed. But then in the next he says, but after you've learned to come back and worship. Zechariah 14 verse 1 to 3. I said Jeremiah, Zechariah. I'm preaching fast now. Zechariah then declares the Lord will rule. Zechariah 14, allow me to slow it down now. Watch, for the day of the Lord is coming when your possessions will be plundered right in front of you. And I will gather all the nations to fight against Jerusalem. The city will be taken, the houses looted, the women raped. Half the population will be taken into captivity and the rest will be left among the ruins of the city. Then the Lord will go out to fight against those nations as he fought in times past. Is that the word of the Lord? We've got to get to know the Bible because these are serious times. Then the Lord will do what? He'll go out. The passage says that there will be many that will turn on Jerusalem. And God is going to seem silent, but he's also going to fulfill his word. So today I want to close with this. We need to intercede. This is a church of prayer. It's a church of prayer for all nations. There's so many countries in need of prayer. Famines. Famines in some, drought in another. Fires in some. And then you've got typhoons in another. Wars. The war in Ukraine and Russia is still raging. We're going to have one of our Ukrainian leaders here for our missions convention in November. And he will be bringing one of the Ukrainians with him for us to understand the pain. Refugees coming from nations where they're being persecuted if they don't serve certain gods. Remember, I said God does not kill you to serve him. He gives us freedom to do so. But now, with intensity, You're starting to hear the rise. Many of you are like, I don't want to watch the news because it's too ugly. That's your choice. But read the Bible because it's being fulfilled. I have a responsibility to read to you today the word of the Lord. And as a nation that's outside of it all, we don't understand the conflict that is within. I've developed a very close friend there from when those of you who went on the tour to Israel, all those who've been to Israel, wave. And so, when you begin to hear the inside, it's pretty ugly. When you hear of the innocent people in Palestine that are being destroyed, it's pretty ugly. It's ugly. We don't have a time right now to be blasé. We don't have time to be a church that does not know how to intercede. We don't have time to be a church that doesn't know the word. We are called and gifted by God in this moment to be the answer in the time of crisis. Do you know this passage that lined up to today, what it said? A Gentile woman showed up and said, Jesus, you might be called to the lost sheep of Israel, but I need a miracle for my demon-possessed family. Anybody hearing me this morning? Are you getting how to pray? Because he came for the Gentile as he did for the Jew. But his promises and his covenants were to the Jew as it is also to us. But there's nations that are in disarray, and we are not caught in it yet. So we have a great responsibility. While we're not trembling, can we at least get to interceding? Because if we learn to pray now, it'll be easier to pray when all hell breaks loose. Can I say that? Online, if we learn to pray in intercession, and go back to September 10th message, intercession is when you pray for others, not God, me, I need more, give me, bless me, help me, do me, moho, me. It's when we put that aside, we're like, God, let me feel the pain of the nations. And give me words to pray for them. Because as I pray for them, changes will happen. Intercede persistently because intercession moves the heart of God. The conclusion of this woman's story is recognize that Jesus is still at work and move towards what he's doing. Be prepared to cry out desperately in humility and complete surrender. Demonstrate that because God is holy. Be persistent. Don't just pray today, Sunday, and forget the rest every day. Get up and cry out, God, God, the world is at war, but your word is unchangeable. So God, render mercy on all sides, and then have faith. Grow your faith in this season. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Heavenly Father, your word is unchangeable, and our hearts seem to flit and glit to the glitz and the glamour of the world. But when the nations are trembling, you gifted us to be people of prayer. Oh God, release prayer upon your people today. Even the demon possessed can be delivered. And without them being delivered, ravaging will continue. God, give us, Lord, the tenacity to pray. Father, I begin today by crying out for those even among us or those hearing my voice online that have not acknowledged you as Lord and Savior, that they will recognize that salvation is the first step to victory. You said in Romans 5:8, you demonstrate your love for all of us while we were still sinners. You died for us. You died that all would be saved. So I cry out for those who need salvation, who've not acknowledged you as Lord and Savior. This must happen. You said salvation is found in no one else under heaven or earth. But in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, let everybody realize no one can get to heaven without coming through the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray, oh God, that today people would confess you with their mouth, believe in their heart that you raised Christ from the dead, and acknowledge you as Lord and Savior in a time when we all need to be worshiping you. So I plead, oh God, for those who've not yet made this decision, that today is the day.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca, and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.